Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast, episode 37. My name is Yuri, and I'm joined by Keishi.
Hey, Yuri, how are you today?
I'm doing not bad. How about you?
I'm good, good. So we finally got the intro right.
Yeah, it took how long? 3 minutes?
Yeah, 3 minutes, 40 seconds, and like 10 tries.
Not bad. That's a new record.
Yeah, not bad at all for Monday night Instead of the usual Sunday. So.
Yeah, maybe we should do more recordings on Monday nights.
That's more blooper time.
Well, you know, people like bloopers. According to some listeners, that's the best part.
Well, we need to make a special episode, I guess.
Bloopers only. What about drinks? What are you drinking today?
Yeah, so today I have a Mitsuya Cider, which is a Japanese brand of sparkling drinks.
Sweet fizzy water. Sparkling
drinks. Yeah, fizzy water, I guess you can call it. And there's the typical version, which I guess is a cider. And this one's called Refresh, and it's yuzu flavor. You know, it's like the citrus fruit that's pretty popular in Japan.
Yuzu is not known around the world, is it, right? It's more of a Japanese citrus?
Yeah, I don't think it's known too well around the world. It's a Japanese one. And I don't think they eat it much, but it's used for drinks, and there's yuzu tea, which is really good. There's
yuzu bath?
Yeah, use a bath, exactly. People put it in their bath. Starbucks says they use a citrus tea or something along those lines that I really like. And for a pretty long period of time, I used to have it every morning, which I guess Ramit Sethi would like.
Wait, why?
Well, he's the one saying that you shouldn't sacrifice your daily latte. So I guess if I don't drink coffee, then the use of citrus tea will have to count from Starbucks.
I see. And how's it taste?
Tastes really good. You mean this one or the Starbucks one?
No, the Starbucks one. And you can talk about your drink.
They're actually both really good. I really like the Starbucks one. I mean, I had it for quite a few months, literally almost every day. So It's good. And this one's really good too. Has the yuzu flavor. It's pretty sweet, but not too sweet. And just a nice sparkling drink.
All right.
How about you? What are you drinking?
What do I have? I have grape drink, Welch's Japanese grape drink. It's the if you check the picture in the show notes, it's what is it? How would you translate it? One bunch of grapes inside.
It's a bunch of grapes worth of polyphenol in a 20% grape juice.
Okay. Oh, 20%. Oh, okay. I was just like at the store maybe an hour ago scanning for drinks for the podcast. I was like, oh, this looks new. Let me snatch it up.
Yeah.
And
you see, this is the thing I like about this drink section is like I go to the store and it always feels like I have some sort of purpose there. I go to the drink section and like look around and try to figure out what I didn't have it and what I want to try.
Yeah.
And instead of just getting the same thing over and over again.
You're there on business.
Exactly.
There's a mission. So if the shop staff is like, can I help you? Like, no, I'm here on a mission. Well, you can ask.
Exactly.
And I have one more. I have the green tea with the cherry blossom packaging. Again, check it out in the show notes at sidehustlesandstuff.com/E37. And I don't think there's any change in flavor.
No.
And the grape drink tastes like grape drink. There's not really much to talk about there. This one, the green tea, is I definitely like the packaging. Caught my eye, the pink petals against the green kind of overall label.
Yeah.
Looks very nice. And also, I'm not a big fan of green tea. Or haven't been a big fan of green tea. Like as in, I wouldn't go out of my way to drink green tea. But this one, the flavor is toned down, which makes it a bit nicer.
Yeah, this is another one of those drinks that I used to drink pretty much every day for a pretty long period of time.
Yeah.
And I like, I really like the packaging. You sent me the picture. It looks really nice. I think it's like, I think the Japanese really love their cherry blossoms. And you can see it on food packaging, on drink packaging, on even... I bet there's like tissue and toilet paper that's got cherry blossom packaging nowadays. So
I was looking at, there was also beer with cherry blossom packaging. But, since this is a kids friendly show, I decided not to get alcohol.
You only got polyphenol.
Yeah. Which just sounds like alcohol, but it's not. Apparently it's very healthy. So those are my drinks for the day or for the podcast.
Yeah, great. So what's the main topic then? What's the main for today?
We're talking about the 7 biggest setbacks that we've had with our side hustles. And these are just stories of random things that happened to our websites or side hustles, what happened, why it happened, and if there was a solution that we came up with, basically just our stories, so you can listen in, hear what happened, and maybe pull out your own lessons from it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think some of the ones that we'll talk about, only Yuri has experience with, others perhaps only I have experience with, and some we both experienced in one way or another.
Yeah.
So I think it will be a bunch of pretty interesting stories.
I think the biggest one we can both relate with, the first one.
Yeah.
Which is Google algorithm updates, something we talk about quite often.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for somebody like you or myself that that rely on websites and on blogs for their side hustles, for their businesses, I think this is probably the biggest nightmare and also one of the most common things that can happen and that can kind of put a lot of effort into waste in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it happen to me at a considerable extent, or I was on the wrong side of the update, so to say, because sometimes it's positive and you kind of gain more traffic in a short period of time than you're supposed to. But I was on the wrong end of the lottery twice, I think, at a considerable significant scale.
When was the last one?
So once was back in 2020, in the early 2020, when my aviation site was hit considerably.
Was that the May or April update?
Yeah, I think it was towards the end of 2019 when my aviation site was hit quite significantly.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started to recover, but then another thing happened, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, so that was the first time when my aviation site was hit. And then the second time was this December.
Okay.
Or last December, I guess. And that's when my other side was hit pretty bad. But also there were things like it was right after Black Friday and things like that. So it's really hard to tell the exact impact, but it was pretty significant.
Yeah. The only reason I ask about dates is because for me, the 2020, whether it was May or April, there's a significant rollout there that hit my main side hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they put out typically a couple of these a year, and it's like it's almost like a big event because it happens and there's a lot of chatter about it for a period of time, and people are trying to figure out what's going on, and at the end of the day everybody figures out that they have no idea what's going on. It just happens every 6 months, and you're either on the good end of it or on the bad end of it.
Yeah, and you realize that 30% or 40% or even more of your traffic is gone.
Yeah, exactly. It's depressing because for especially when it happens towards the end of the year, like it was the case with my with the latest update that I faced. It's like you grew over the year, and then suddenly like half of that growth is wiped out overnight, essentially.
With your traffic dropping dramatically, what it ultimately means is you also earn less.
Yeah,
So like with all the hard work that you put in, at the same time, that's gone down the drain. And at the same time, your revenue also gets sliced by 30, 40, 50% or however much.
Yeah, exactly. And the exact numbers will depend on which of your pages are affected, because essentially what happens is Google decides that for some of the keywords that you're ranking high, you shouldn't be ranking high.
Yeah.
So if that keyword happens to be like, I don't know, toy poodle versus German Shepherd, then you probably lose only a little revenue. But if it's like the best leashes for toy poodle, then that's probably quite a lot of money you lose if you're monetizing with it with affiliate or something.
Yeah. And I think like, because you use ads, right?
Yeah.
So, and ads are based on the amount of traffic that you get. So I guess if you're more dependent on ads, then you will feel the impact of these algorithm updates. You'll feel the drop in traffic much more strongly than I guess most other people. It gets reflected instantly.
Yeah, I think so. Although at the same time, I think it's more kind of spread out because each of the articles is earning a little rather than a small bunch of articles earning most of the money. So I guess if most of your money comes from affiliates, then it really is a lottery about which articles you lose rankings for.
Mm.
And it could either affect the revenue a lot or almost not at all. Whereas with ads, it's more evenly spread across or it's kind of averaged out because of the way the monetization works.
Okay, because I'm thinking with affiliate programs and affiliate offers, if you are able to receive recurring commission, it's not such a steep drop. It's more of like a steady, slow decline. Because if you have recurring commission, then you have like past accounts that you brought in that continue to bring in revenue. So it's not like you're dropping from like 100 to zero. It's more of a 99, 98.
Yeah.
90, 85, 70. It's a bit of a slower descent.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think I think it's important to distinguish between affiliate programs where essentially you get one payment and you're done, in which case it can be pretty harsh if the important pages lose traffic.
Yeah.
With recurring commissions, if you're just getting started, then it's pretty bad because you don't get to build up the customer base. But if you've been running it for a few years and you have a steady stream of recurring ones, then yeah, it's definitely less of a hit because you already have the existing customer base or the existing income base.
Yeah. And if you're selling your own product, then you also feel that directly because, you know, half of traffic, 50% of traffic loss might mean 50% drop in revenue as well.
Or even more, yeah.
Yeah. So did you have any solutions or any lessons learned from these updates?
Yeah, I mean, I think the lesson learned is just like, no matter how much you think things are under your control, there's part of your business, especially in this area, really depends on what Google decides to do with your site or what the Google algorithm decides to do with your site. And that's something that you can definitely mitigate to some extent, I guess, by having good technical SEO, having good content, not doing too many shady things and things like that. But at the same time, there's always still a level of randomness, especially nowadays. Like almost every keyword you search, you find so many different sites having almost the same content.
Yeah.
That I think it's a roll of a dice to an extent. Now, of course, there are some factors like the number of links you have, the quality of links you have, and things like that, like the overall site structure. But there's nevertheless there's a randomness factor. And that's one lesson learned. I think the other lesson learned is these things happen and you got to be prepared for them. It's essentially a cost of doing the business because it's pretty clear that Google releases a major update at least a couple times a year. And again, you can do your best to be prepared for them, but you can never fully anticipate them and fully anticipate their effect. So again, there's a certain element of chance, a certain element of randomness.
I think the one thing that you can do is just keep on trucking and keep on posting content.
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing you can do. You can update content, as we'll talk about a bit later. You just got to keep going and keep staying consistent rather than having it kind of derail you.
Yeah. Although, you know, I guess it's not an easy solution, but also diversifying your traffic sources, such as getting involving paid ads, involving social media, involving email marketing, can help you bring extra traffic to your site if Google decides to cut your traffic down by 20-30%. But that's easier said than done.
Exactly. Yeah, I think, at least for me personally, on a practical level, I think I'm pretty dependent on Google's traffic. And sure, there are risks, but I'd rather take those risks and I guess have more sites that rely on Google. And diversify that way. There's another way to diversify, I guess, is you could diversify into Pinterest, Facebook, and so on. Or you could diversify into having multiple sites because not all sites are affected in the same way.
All right. So first setback, biggest setback that both Casey and I share is the good old Google algorithm updates. And if you are pursuing a side hustle in the, you know, internet space, whether it's blogging or whatever website that you have, and if you become dependent on Google traffic, then this will probably be an issue for you. At the same time, if you're building your side hustle on Instagram or YouTube, I mean, there's always a chance that they will also update something about their platform that may or may not impact you. I know with YouTube, for example, they started, I think a few years back or maybe recently, there's been a whole issue of demonetization and people were making a lot of money off of YouTube videos. Suddenly their ad rates dropped.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess that comes with the platform. If you choose to work with that platform or become dependent on it, you also become dependent on its mood swings and updates.
Yeah, exactly. No matter what you do, there's some sort of platform risk, right?
Yeah.
So, I think you just got to take the risk, face it, and be ready for it.
Yeah. All right, next up, we have affiliate commission cuts.
Yeah, those hurt, don't they?
Yeah. So in this case, we're talking to Amazon affiliate commissions, right?
Yeah.
And just a quick background, affiliate marketing is when you refer people to a product or an online web store. And if they buy, you get a cut. And it's one of the many ways to pursue a side hustle online. Maybe you've seen a video where someone says, click my affiliate link below, or they're reviewing a product and they link you back to Amazon. If you go and buy that, they earn some commission off of that. And that is affiliate marketing. And it's just one of the many ways that you can monetize your blog or vlog or website. And at the same time, we do this too.
Yeah, exactly. In my case, I'm for my affiliate revenue, I'm pretty reliant on Amazon. I think in your case, you have Amazon and a couple of other programs. So I guess it's more diversified. But
yeah,
with Amazon, there's been a couple of times over the last couple of years where they decided to decrease the commission rate. Most recently, it was in April last year, in April 2020. And at that time, the commission rate for some of the categories in which I sold most of my products at the time, or even now, went down from 8% to 3%.
That's a big chunk.
That's a big chunk because it sounds like 5%, but it's actually more than 50%, right? Because it's 5 percentage points out of 8%, yeah. Or out of 8 percentage points. So yeah, instead of making a couple $1,000, for example, you start making, I don't know, $800 or $1,000 overnight. You lose half of your affiliate revenue. So yeah, while affiliate revenue can be nice, there's always this risk of the provider just deciding that we're not going to pay you what we paid you so far anymore. We're going to pay you much less, and either take it or leave it. And if you leave it, then remove the links and rewrite your content and everything that comes with it. But I think in most cases it's a good idea to take it, especially with Amazon.
Yeah, well, Amazon is in this point in time, it's a strange beast, but at the same time, it's also the most well-known store online. So it's a very powerful platform. So it's like you kind of can't help but use it because anyone else, other stores simply don't have as much brand presence and don't get people to buy stuff as much as Amazon does.
Exactly. And every time there's an Amazon commission change happening, you see all these people shouting, oh, I'm leaving Amazon. Oh, find a different program. Don't rely on Amazon.
Yeah.
But the reality is that if Amazon's paying you 3% on physical products, it's nowhere near as easy to find a substitute for a lot of categories. Like, sure, there are some different affiliate programs, but it's really hard to find something that converts as well as Amazon and that has as good a selection of products.
Yeah, and brand, just overall, like
and the brand, exactly.
Yeah, you go on the website, the immediate thought is, huh, what do I need? What else do I need? Is there anything I want to buy?
And this is the other thing, like a considerable part of what you sell on Amazon and earn commission on is actually not stuff that you're actually promoting. It's stuff that somebody who sent to their website ended up buying just because they landed on Amazon.
By the way, I think that would make a great episode of things that we don't promote but people bought. Interesting things.
Yeah, we should do that as a small segment in one of our future episodes.
Yeah, I don't know how much attention we can devote to each and every one of those products, but you know, can go down like a quick list of the fun purchases that people made in February 2021.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think I faced this problem. You faced this problem. Is there any solution that you found to this?
It's a good question. I guess one solution is to again keep pumping out content to a similar extent to make up for the loss. That's one. Two is take the affected. For example, in our case, it would be articles, right?
Yeah.
And find extra ways to promote them. In my case, you know, post more stuff on social media and pump up the traffic over there.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts. And, you know, I guess you can come up with more products to promote instead of just relying on the current ones that got shelved or got the ones that got their commission cut.
Yeah, I think so. And actually, I think this is where I'd mention display ads. Like if you're not doing it yet and you get hit by a commission cut, but you have sizable traffic, then I think they're a decent way to earn good money.
Unless you get hit by an algorithm update in your traffic drops.
Exactly. But there's always some risk in one way or another.
Yeah.
And I think actually this is another good example of how things are. A lot of the inputs that you put in when you work on your sites are under your control. So you can make more articles. You can try to get better links. You can make your site look nicer. But a lot of the outputs, which is the money and the traffic, that is largely out of your control. Sure, it depends on the inputs that you put in, but the ultimate result is to a considerable extent out of your control.
Yeah. So what would you do as a solution to Amazon affiliate cuts? What did you do?
Personally, I just I guess I just stayed the course because I think I still can make a return on investment into the content that's bringing in the Amazon revenues. And but I also started doing more informational content that's monetized with ads. So I think those are the two things. And but yeah, the thing that scares me the most in terms of Amazon and why I don't rely on Amazon and why I try to rely as much on display ads as possible is that like they did in the United Kingdom, and I also think recently Germany, they started distinguishing between direct referrals and indirect referrals. And when it's the product that you recommend, you get the full commission. But if it's a product that's kind of thrown into the cart as a separate purchase, it's only 1% for all categories.
Is this going on now already?
Yeah, so in the UK, it's been going on for quite a while. And I thought, and seeing that, I thought that they're going to roll it out soon into other markets too. And I think this year they rolled it out in Germany or one of the other European markets. And yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they roll out similar thing in the United States as well, which would be unfortunate. But
yeah, because then we can't make money off of interesting things that people buy that we don't promote.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess that's, again, that's what happens when you choose to play on someone else's playground.
Exactly.
I think the next biggest setback that probably both you and I faced, and I wrote this in, but competition and content decay. And I guess in our space of putting out online content is, you know, there'll be plenty of other bloggers and vloggers that come out to do the same exact or similar content as you do.
Yeah.
And they may knock you out of first place or second place or third place, so out of the front page. I know that has happened in my case. I remember writing back in 2015, I had one really good article that ranked either first or second, and it was bringing me probably a majority of my Amazon affiliate commission.
Yeah.
And then probably around 2017 or 2018, I started looking around like, I'm not really earning as much anymore. What's going on? You know, I took a look, found that specific article on Google Analytics, and I saw a steady decline over the years. So this kind of setback is not one of those instant overnight traffic drops, but it's more of a slow frog in a boiling water setback that you don't really notice until months or years after, when you notice that suddenly you're not earning as much, or maybe by chance you Googled one of your pages and it's not showing up anymore.
Yeah.
So in my case, what I did was I updated it with more content, and I also stepped on, the gas and published more content. I'm not sure if it's gotten better yet. I would actually have to, double check right now. So looking at the data, right now I have Google Analytics open. I was getting about 200 something visits a week around 2016. That's when it peaked.
Yeah.
Then it's funny watching this, from June 2016, August, September, there's a slow and steady decline. March 2017, down to 47 visits a week, March 2018. So there's I hit a low July 2018. I think at one point I started updating the stuff here. And from 2018 into 2020, it kind of flatlined, although actually it dipped around end of 2019 into 2020. And now it has spiked up as of May 2020, jumped down again to in September 2020, and it has spiked up. So this is a kind of a roller coaster. But I think maybe updating content worked in hindsight. But yeah. I can't tell you for sure that it's staying solid.
Yeah. Yeah, I think updating content definitely tends to help. And you definitely have more experience with the content decay part, I think, because your site is considerably older than any of my sites, and you've got way more articles on the site than I think I have on any of my sites. But yeah, I think the solution there is to update the articles. I know some people combine them and kind of try to find stuff that's not relevant and delete it and just make the site structure kind of tighter overall.
Yeah,
seem to help.
I sent you the graph, by the way, on Facebook Messenger.
Oh, nice. Well, what happened in the there's two serious bumps at the very end in 2021.
Yeah, that's the part that I don't know about. So it kind of looks like it recovered, and then it took a dip again.
Yeah, it seems almost like like it dropped with an algorithm update, then it raised with another one, and then it dropped again with the most recent one.
I'll wait, give it some more time. I don't like to like get bogged down over stats too much.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I think I said exactly, but I check my analytics multiple. I'll take that back. But yeah, I think the other thing that you can do is update the content, but also monitor your rankings. I don't know if you do that or to what extent, but just having your main keywords in a rank tracker and kind of seeing how the ranks are developing over time.
Do you do that?
Yeah. So I use a tool called SERPRobot. I think it's like $5 a month for 300 keywords, and I'm paying 2 subscriptions. So it's like $10 a month, but I have all the main keywords that I'm going after in there, and it's keeping track of where my sites rank for each of those.
Has it helped you in any way?
Sometimes I look at it and pick an article to update, I guess. The other thing is I want to kind of take that and implement it into a process where somebody else, whether it's my virtual assistant or my editor, will be able to figure out which articles need updating and editing.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, it's mostly just kind of another indication of how the site's performing for me. But I have plans to start using it as part of the process of updating the content and preventing the content decay.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I should give that a try.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's pretty much a must to at least some of the main keywords, because it kind of gives you a good idea of what the changes are. Are you kind of ranking high for some type of keywords, but not so high for other type of keywords, and helps you figure out which clusters you're doing good for and where to put efforts as well.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. All right. What's next?
So next, I see you put in losing freelancers and writers here. Personally, I guess I've terminated work with some freelancers and writers, but I don't think it went to an extent where it was too much of a setback. I mean, I guess I had to go from publishing 10 articles to 7 articles a week or things like that.
Yeah.
Because of these sort of things, but it wasn't anything too major, I managed to just carry on building the sites. How about you? You had some more serious cases?
No, not really. I actually put it out for you, but I mean, in my case, it was just like, just a freelancer going, I don't have much time for this nowadays. Sorry. Which kind of, if you don't have like a solid process in place, it just kind of knocks your publishing schedule or your whatever your current routine is sideways.
Yeah, exactly. And
I wouldn't call it a big setback either, but I think it's still like a kind of realistic one, because if we depend on content and if we depend on freelancers to get things done, and any hiccup in that section can and will act as a temporary setback.
Yeah, exactly. And reminds me, I should go out and hire a couple more writers, because right now I'm working with 2. I used to work with 3 or 4, but I lost a couple of them. One, the quality of work just went down, and I kind of terminated that cooperation. And another one, the guy got just busy and couldn't write anymore. So right now I have 2. But yeah, I think the best solution for this, and the reason why I want to hire more writers, even though my current ones are managing, is that once you lose a writer, it's too late, right? So I'd rather have 3 writers writing 5 articles each,
yeah,
than one writer writing 15. All 15 articles. It's kind of diversification in the inputs, I guess.
Yep. Losing freelancers or writers, not always a big setback, but does happen. And I guess for me, the easiest solution is just to go up on Upwork and post up another gig.
Yeah, I think that's a good solution.
All right. Next up, we have sites going down.
All right. This one's all yours. You're kind of an expert in this area.
Yeah. So, I think the reason my site went down or has been going down like every now and then is I think it's related to the, what is it called? The HTTPS certificate.
Yeah.
And not exactly working well with Cloudflare. So that has happened multiple times in a row where, like one day I'll just like, oh, let me check the website real quick. Probably like on a Saturday when I have nothing to do. And then I noticed, 504 error, site's down. I'm like, oh, man. And in those cases, there's literally nothing I can do. Just, you know, until wait until the weekend's over and contact the developers to help out on that front. But, you know, site down means no traffic, means no revenue.
Yeah.
So essentially you're out of business. And I think it might affect your standing in terms of search engines, but
yeah,
I haven't seen concrete evidence that it has hurt me in the long run.
Yeah, I wonder to what extent that.
Yeah. As long as it's probably not down for like a month.
Yeah, exactly. Although in your case, I remember there's been some times where it's been out for a few days because you didn't realize it was down.
Yeah. That's the downfall of not checking stats every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I guess there's some good in me being inside Google Analytics at least a couple of times.
The other issue was getting the site hacked and like WordPress finding malicious files on the server. And, you know, it happened with one of my other sites, my smaller sites.
Yeah.
I think one day I just got an email from WordPress saying our routine scans have found malicious files on your site. Please look into it or contact our support team for help. And so I logged in and lo and behold, you know, I think you suggested a security plugin, which I downloaded for WordPress, had it scanned, and it's like suddenly found all these files that shouldn't belong there. Which means probably, like, you know, hackers found a backdoor, like some sort of backdoor route and planted these files or whatever. And I don't know how much of a big deal it was, but I think, you know, again, in case of search engines, they can and will downgrade you if you have malicious stuff on the website. I don't know. I haven't seen much evidence of that, but I think I acted pretty fast. Although by the time I noticed it was kind of quite a while now. But essentially the solution was download a plugin for security and scanning.
Yeah.
Delete those files. And as a general practice, remove unused or outdated plugins that you don't use anymore.
Yeah.
And at the same time, remove themes that you don't use anymore. Because if they're no longer being updated, then chances are someone will find some sort of weakness and access your site through that weakness. The other thing I did was add two-factor authentication. Just simply so no one else can log in except for me.
Oh, nice. I didn't know you can do that for WordPress.
Actually, I found, I set it up for my year blog.
Yeah.
I think a week ago when I published a new article, actually same thing happened. I mean, no one notified me, but I logged in and I'm like, you know, I was trying to upload some picture.
Yeah.
For a post. And then I'm kind of seeing these files that shouldn't belong there. Just like random.
Oh, really?
The naming is like, you know, just jumbled letters in caps and non-capital letters.
Yeah.
And but they're not exactly anything that's like, it's not a photo. It's just some file that's unreadable. And I'm like, oh, this looks familiar. So I scanned the system and I found some stuff and I added two-factor authentication. Now, of course, I started removing plugins. I think one of which is the SumoMe plugin.
Is that the plugin that you use for pop-ups and stuff?
Yeah. What about you? Have you had anything like that?
I had my site go down a couple of times, and I guess more than a setback, it was kind of a stressful experience. Like, I remember one time, my biggest site outage, I guess, was a couple of years back for my aviation site. And I remember we were in Disneyland with my girlfriend and my mom, and not sure if my sister was there or not, but we were in Disneyland, and I was constantly checking on my developer to see if he's making any progress fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually took him more than a day, I think, more than a couple of days probably to fix it, because for some reason he couldn't restore the backups from the hosting provider, and he had a trouble stitching everything back together and making it work. So that was a frustrating.
Did you lose any revenue over that?
Yeah, but I wasn't making much money with my sites back then, so probably like 20 or 30 or something bucks, whereas now I would have lost at least a couple hundred bucks, which would be a bigger loss.
It's funny, like the bigger you grow, the more important it is to make sure these technical things are in place and they're accounted for. And because, you know, it doesn't matter, like if you have a small blog that earns maybe 25 bucks or 50 bucks a month, it's like you could take a hit. It's not exactly important, but the more your business grows, you know, as it grows as an asset, the more you have to protect it and the more things go into play and the more complex it gets.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Google algorithm updates definitely scare me, but even the site going out for a couple of days scares me too, especially nowadays that the revenue that the site generates is pretty significant. It wouldn't be a happy experience to have the sites go out for a few days.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
Yeah. So I think so far we went through, I guess you could call it technical issues or like partnership issues or very, very tangible things in a way. Mm. Yeah. But I think the next thing that we're going to talk about is a bit more intangible, but I think it's no less important. And that is loss of motivation and focus to an extent. And this can happen due to a bunch of different reasons, like seasonality or some outside pressures, or like if you have a full-time job, maybe your full-time job gets busy and the side hustle is kind of the first thing that has to go by the side.
Yeah.
But in my case, for example, it was like towards the end of last year when on November 27th, which was, I believe, the Black Friday, I made the most revenue in one day with my sites.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really exciting, right? It was like what a lot of people in the country where I'm from make in like a week or a couple of weeks. And but at the same time, from the next day, the revenue started going down, and then the Google algorithm update came, and essentially things went downhill from there. Luckily, they're bouncing up again. So that was kind of demotivating. And it's interesting because even now things are much better than they were a year ago or even like 6 months ago. They're just not where they used to be at the peak, which was the Black Friday. And that's to be expected because of seasonality, because that's generally the time that a lot of online business owners make the most of their money, at least per day. But at the same time, even though I knew the numbers would go down, it just kind of felt a bit depressing to see them actually go down.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it resulted in a bit of a loss of motivation for at least a couple of weeks.
Where did you earn most of your revenue with the Black Friday?
I think I made a small chunk on Amazon, but most of it was through display ads.
So because the traffic spiked up for you on that period of time?
Yeah, exactly. The traffic spiked up because a lot of the articles I have is stuff that's searched on around the holidays a lot. And also the revenue spiked up because the RPM or the revenue per 1,000 visitors or per 1,000 sessions is high during the holidays because advertisers are willing to pay a lot.
Yeah.
You had a similar situation, but not with seasonality, right? Where kind of stopped working on your sites for a while.
Yeah, that happened in, I think, 2019. I think I took several months of hiatus on the blogs to take care of other issues. And definitely, you know, I can definitely understand loss of motivation and focus. Because again, with the side hustle stuff is when something comes along with, you know, more priority, then the easiest things or the things that you tend to get rid of are the things that aren't critical. And for someone, it could be their side hustle or it could be their hobby. And usually, you know, these things go by the side while you go and focus on something else. So that definitely happened to me. And I don't know, like in the case of bouncing back from loss of motivation is just, how would you do it? I guess it helps to talk to people that also do side hustles, because then you're like, all right, let me just get back into this. Let me request some stuff from freelancers and get the ball rolling again.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good. I think some sort of like accountability or just having a chance to talk about this thing.
Yeah.
I think that definitely produces some motivation. The other thing I realized is that if you put good systems in place, then motivation is a bit less of a factor.
Yeah.
So whether it's instead of having to do all the work, whether it's outsourcing some of the writing or even just having it all organized, having like we were talking about for a full episode, a couple of episodes back, I guess, like having a list of topics that you can always refer back to and little things like that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think like loss of motivation can be a very common thing for someone who doesn't have these systems in place or isn't working with a community of people. Because if you're not around it and you're doing it all by yourself, then it's a lot harder to bounce back.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think the more demanding your day job is, if you're doing this as a side hustle, the more difficult it is to bounce back, but also the easier it is to lose the motivation and focus because you're tired and you have other things to take care of that are higher priority.
Yeah, like, I mean, in my case, the work gets very busy around the holidays, so I think if you listen to the previous episodes, I didn't hit my goals, but you know, that comes with the territory. I understand that I won't get much done in December anyway.
Yeah.
But the upside to that is, at least in the case of affiliate marketing and having a website and having an asset that kind of exists, is, you know, I don't really lose out on revenue. And just the only thing is I don't put out more work.
Yeah, I think that's the thing I love about my websites as well, is like whether it's a loss of motivation or whether it's going on a vacation or spending a day hiking or whatever, it's like unless I take probably like a few months off, I won't notice the result. At least not now. But yeah. But yeah, at some point you got to bounce back and keep growing the thing, because otherwise it will decay, as we talked about earlier today.
Yeah. All right. And I see next up you have, as a setback, unexpected macro events. What is that? What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So I think for the last thing, it's good to put the things that, there were some things that are kind of out of our control, like the commission cuts and the Google updates and things like that. But we still choose to work with Google, and we still choose to work with Amazon. But then there's unexpected like macroeconomic or global events or even local events that are completely out of your control. And those can affect your business to one extent or another. And sometimes they're good for you, sometimes they're bad. But we're talking about the bad stuff here. So COVID would be the first thing that comes to my mind, of course. It's like my travel website essentially dropped by 80% over, I don't know, a couple of weeks following March 2020, because the travel industry came to a complete halt, essentially.
Yeah.
So that would be one example. Now, on the another similar case, I guess, is recently there has been the cold Texas spell, or the cold spell in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And on a couple of my sites, the traffic spiked because it talks about things that that are important when you're actually in a cold spell.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the other way around, where it was a bad event for Texans, of course, but in terms of the traffic on some of my blogs, it actually resulted in some spikes.
Yeah. So what's the solution, or what lessons can you take out of this?
I think, not to be repetitive here, but there are some things you can't control. It's like, and I think this is where the Tao of Pu comes in. It's like, it is what it is. Just take it the way it is and deal with it rather than try to avoid it. And,
in the case, go ahead.
Yeah. And again, I think the solution is, one, just stay calm. Like, these things happen. And two, diversify. Because again, like in my case, it just so happened that while my travel site went down a lot during COVID, my other sites are actually in industries or in niches where people staying at home is beneficial to sales or results in more traffic. So again, diversifying into different industries, into different verticals, I think that can help. That can help mitigate the impact of these things.
Yeah, diversification seems to be the solution for a lot of these things.
It is, and I think it's a solution for a lot of these things, because you can diversify in so many different dimensions, right? Like, you can diversify in the traffic streams, like you said. So you can have Google, you can have Pinterest, you can have paid ads, whatever. You can diversify your revenue sources. So you can have ads, you can have affiliate programs, you can have you can sell products and things like that. And then you can diversify in the industry, so you can have, I don't know, a dog blog, you can have a cat blog, although that's pretty similar, but you can have like a soccer blog and all these different topics that you write about.
A blog about astrology.
Yeah, that would have been an option.
That seems timeless.
and you can also diversify in terms of media. So you can have a blog, you can have YouTube channel, you can have podcast, and so on. So I think diversification is so powerful because it is such a broad concept. I guess this is the last thing. So to kind of close off my thoughts, and I'm sure you'll have something to add, but to close off my thoughts is, like, I really think diversification is the key here. Also in terms of taking money out of your side hustle and putting it into something else. Because again, everything has an end. And with a lot of these things, you never know when the end is. So sure, pump the money into the business and grow the business, but also take a portion out and put it maybe into the stock market, maybe into Bitcoin, if that's your kind of, if that's what you like. Diversify the way you invest your money as well.
Yeah. One thing that always sits on my mind is, well, in your case, you have display ads, right?
Yeah.
And for some reason, correct me if I'm wrong. It's a, you know, if your traffic drops overnight, I mean, not that. If Google rolls out an algorithm update and your traffic drops, then is that an immediate 20% drop? Say it's a 20% traffic drop. Does that get immediately reflected in your earnings?
Pretty much, yeah. Again, there's like each article has a different RPM because some articles pay better than others. Some articles are longer than others, so they display more ads and things like that. But yeah, I think for the sake of simplicity, it's pretty safe to say that if your traffic drops 20%, your revenue will drop roughly 20% in the same time frame or at the same time.
I guess that's the scary part for me is that those things happen in tandem and your earnings get slashed. And I guess which brings me to the next thought is like, I guess one should not go overspending, if you know what I mean. Or like, let's say you're earning X. And so as a result of X, you justify your expenses to be higher because your, you know, earnings are higher.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that lifestyle inflation. But in the case of side hustles, maybe side hustle expense inflation. You feel like you can take on more tools and you can take on more services and more freelancers and whatnot. And then one day, you know, pop, there comes an algorithm update that slashes your earnings in half. And suddenly you're in the red.
Yeah,
because you've taken on all of these extra expenses. That's kind of like that's the scary part to me.
Yeah, I think that can happen, but again, it can happen with pretty much any source of income. So that's why I think it's also important to just diversify outside your primary business model, because just so that you have something in case the primary business model goes down the toilet.
Yeah, I guess the only conclusion that we can agree on here is that, you know, setbacks can and will and do happen.
Yeah, I think so.
And so it's part of the game.
Yeah, and I think the setbacks are, they're frustrating, but they're also, I think, motivating, and they're what make this kind of fun in a way. Like, it wouldn't be fun if all went well.
Yeah, there is some sort of motivation. You know, I haven't thought of, I wish I had thought of this earlier, but kind of getting knocked out of, like, say, first place or the first page of Google to the 30th or the 27th.
Yeah,
you do kind of get this rush of competitive spirit that you're going to go and claw your way back.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because, I think so far, a lot of my successes with this business came from the setbacks. Like, for example, with the algorithm update that kind of tanked my aviation side a bit, I decided to start putting more efforts into what has become my largest site. And then with the recent algorithm update, again, I started putting more efforts into my other two sites to kind of diversify and to grow those other sites as well. And one of those sites, again, grew recently and was accepted into Ezoic, so started making at least some small recurring revenue from the ads. So I think as long as you can turn these setbacks into fuel for further growth and for putting further effort into the projects, I think you're on a good track.
Yeah. What about you listeners? Do you have or have you had any setbacks in your own side hustle? Leave us a comment in the show notes of this episode at sidehustlesandstuff.com/E37. It's always fun to listen to stories of setback to see what, you know, each of us learned. For the most case, it's diversify, 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 and keep on trucking.
Yeah.
And if you haven't started your side hustle yet, again, check out the show notes at sidehustlesandstuff.com/E37. Check out Bluehost, where you can buy a .com, buy a website, put out your project into the world and make it real. A website makes it real. So check out the show notes. And I think that's it for this episode 37.
Awesome. Talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you next week. I guess it's blooper time.
I think we have more than enough of those for this episode.
All of them happen at the start.
Now it actually has a timer that counts down. Wow.
Just let me get my voice ready for the people.
All right.
Ready?
Yep.
Oh, hold on. Where's the intro script? Oh, there it is. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast. What is that sound?
Oh, sorry. That might have been my mic stand. I was adjusting it.
Okay. Again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast.
I love it when my voice goes out. Again. Damn. That was two attempts already. Usually I get this done on the first try.
It's a setback.
I know. Hold on a second. I gotta. Damn, I hate it when this happens. Okay. No. That was not it. Again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast. All right. That,
okay. Take 27.
Let me. Usually breathing helps.
I just remembered when I was supposed to talk about Kalpis.
Oh, yeah.
I just couldn't stop thinking of Kalpis.
Right now, I don't know. Like, I'm just smiling automatically and my brain is not working with me. Okay. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Side Hustle. Son of a... Oh, you know, it's funny. It's like you're like, it's that thought like, yeah, I'm going to make it. I'm almost done. But nope. Then the other side of your brain is like, no, I'm going to make you laugh. It's that Simpsons episode where Homer is jumping over the Springfield Gorge with a skateboard. He's like, I'm going to make it. I want to make it. And halfway through, he's like, oh, I should really not think about this. Why?
We've got 2 minutes of bloopers. We haven't even started yet. So.
I know. What?
So that's good. Ugh.
You know, like, I think when you're tired, you're much more prone to. What did I read? I was reading about copywriting, some sort of copywriting get-togethers.
Yeah.
Or seminars, and at first the goal would be to get everyone tired. Because once you're tired, you're much more, well, I don't know how true this is. I guess you're much more accepting and mentally flexible, perhaps. And you're much more open to, like, I don't know. At the same time, I also notice, like, when I'm low on sleep, I tend to laugh much more and I find things more funny. So, all right. Drinks. What about drinks? What are you drinking today?
Today I have Monsieur. Again, hold on. I'm a bit confused because I'm trying to figure out if it was sometime last spring, I believe, when my aviation side
Whoops. Someone's screaming outside. Can you hear that?
Nope. Oh, now I can hear it. It's the parking guys.
He's been yelling for the past minute.
Maybe he's bad at parking.
All right, you don't hear him now, right?
No, not now.
Okay, because I opened the window, but I can hear it.
Oh, I see.
No, close. Okay.